Today's message, I'm just going to listen to this title and you're going, okay, God, where are you going with this one? So it's called A Hankering for the Husk. So you know me, I like to share stories and that pertain to the message. So this first story that I'm going to share with you is about a little boy who's walking the beach. And as he's walking on the beach, he encounters hundreds of starfish that are actually laying in the sand, dying because of the heat of the sun that was shining down on them. They're literally dying there. And he starts to pick up one starfish at a time, and he throws it back into the sea. And one person walks by and asks the little boy, "What are you doing?" And the little boy says, "I'm saving your lives." And the man looks at him and he says, "Forget it. There's no way you can save all of these starfish." The little boy responds by saying, "That's true. But I will make a difference in each one of the ones that I do save." Amen? So, you know that's what sin does. Sin is like a wave that pulls us in onto a hot, scorching, sandy beach. But thank God that He sent His Son to walk that beach and to save all of us that have been washed up by sin and laying on the beach. That because of Jesus, when we repent, He comes to save us so that we can have salvation. Now it says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "In the same way I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and his life, than over the 99 good people who do not need to change." So every single time a person accepts or receives salvation, what happens in heaven? A celebration. A party. That's what we should be doing every time that we see and hear someone receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. We too should be celebrating. We too should have a party. So, we know some of you death by an eye, look at Mary's got that grin on her face over the place and tell her, "I know she got that in anchoring for the bus." Because in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 24, it talks about the three stories or the three parables that Jesus shares: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It goes on to say, "Now the tax collectors, as soon as they're all yelling around, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, and they said, 'This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them as well.'" Well, Jesus just continues to say, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in an open country and go after the lost sheep? And when he finds it, he puts it over his shoulder and he goes home. And then what does he do? He calls his friends and his relatives and he says, 'Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' And I tell you," this is what Jesus says, "I tell you this, the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Then he goes on to talk about the lost coin. He says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp? Doesn't she get her broom out and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends, she calls her relatives, her neighbors, and she asks them to gather together to rejoice with her, because she has found that lost coin." Then Then lastly, the third parable that told the story, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between the two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered all of his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole land, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to be left to feed the pigs. He longed to have a full stomach, and he wanted he was so hungry that he wanted his stomach to be filled with the piles of the same thing that the pigs were eating. But no one would feed him. No one would give him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for his son. For he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy to call your son. But the father says to his servant, quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Sandals on his feet. Bring a fat calf and kill it. Let's all have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine, who was lost, is now found. And they began to celebrate. So what are these three stories left on? First, something was lost. Then something was found. And then they celebrated. So, after each one of these, Jesus describes the celebration. Jesus is his most happiest when he can celebrate that when one person was lost is now found. Jesus rejoices because he knows what awaits those who are saved. Jesus knows what we're going to experience when we receive that salvation. In heaven, you will, at long last, have a heart just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. A heart that is guiltless. A heart that is fearless. A heart that is tirelessly worshiping and praising and fellowshipping and flawlessly discerning. That's the heart of Christ. And we will have that same heart of Christ when we receive salvation. That's what Jesus is saying when he's saying, I know what it's like to be on this side of it. And I want it for you. Jesus also rejoices and celebrates because you're not going to hell. But you're going to have eternal salvation, eternal life with him. And it will be a constant time of growing in fellowship with each other and praising and worshiping God. Jesus says there is only one sound when it comes to going to hell that we're going to hear. And we read that in Scripture. And that is the weeping and gnashing of teeth. None of us want to experience that. Now, I'd like to share another story. This is a true story. It's a story that took place on December 15, 1993. It's about a six-week-old baby girl by the name of Crystal. The thing is, her parents took her to the Chicago Clinic, health clinic, to get medical care. While there, she was kidnapped. In 1993, she was kidnapped. And for a whole week, the parents were, of course, distraught. They didn't eat, they didn't sleep, because they didn't know where she was, and if she was okay. But then after a week, they They found an abandoned baby in a church, in an empty church. And sure enough, it was Crystal. She was unharmed. She was well. But imagine the joy that that family had, knowing that their daughter, their baby daughter, was safe and that there was nothing wrong with her. Can you imagine how they wanted to celebrate? And sure enough, it was right before Christmas. Can you imagine what their Christmas must have been like? How joyful, how much they celebrated. Not just the parents, but the family. But not only that, when the media got a hold of this, and the nation, not just Chicago, but the nation heard about this child being recovered. A 6-week-old baby being recovered, found. Not only did Chicago celebrate, not only did Illinois celebrate, but the whole country celebrated. It shared that joy that these parents had in finding their daughter. You know, in Luke chapter 15, when Jesus tells these three parables of the lost and the found, in these three stories, it reveals to us God's heart for us. God's heart for us. And how he feels about those who were lost and then once again found. He made it the costliest sacrifice God did. And he gave his son so that we could be found. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, Jesus said that whenever a sinner is abducted soul is found and restored to the Father's family, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God. That's written in Scripture in chapter 15, verse 10. Now again, I'd like to share another story. And if any of the others that I've shared with you don't resonate with you, this is certainly what this means. It's about this young man who gets, he is about his business, as usual, every single day, going to work, his routine, going to his work routine. But he notices on his email that the heading of that email says, I think you're my cousin. He says, when I read the message, I learned that my cousin, she and another cousin, had been searching for my branch of the family for almost 10 years. They had been looking for this particular family for over close to 10 years. Because the one cousin had promised her father shortly before he died that she would find this family. And this is what the cousin response is once he gets the whole gist of the story to this email. This is what he says. Until that day, he said, that they found me, until the day they had found me, I didn't know that I was lost. I didn't know I was lost. I hadn't done anything to get lost. And I didn't have to do anything to be found, except acknowledge that I was that person and had been looking for it. It certainly made me feel very special. Now, we're going to go back through that. It said, until that day, I didn't know that I was lost. Well, I don't know about any of you, but I can certainly relate to that. Because even if I was, as a kid, you know, family of 12, you went to church. You might imagine having a neighbor take you to church, but you went to church. You went to church every Sunday. You went to catechism once a week. And if there was a special service, special masses, you went. But even then, in my young teens, my upper teens, my early 20s, I didn't know I was lost. You can have a religion and still be lost. And then he goes on to say, I haven't done anything to get lost. Well, when you have a relationship, you begin to realize and understand more about when you have this relationship with Christ, if then when you have just a religion, you don't realize that you are born into this world a sinner. And by the scripture that I quoted last week or the week before, that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And that's what we're talking about Adam. So when we were born, we came into this world as sinners. But then as if I hadn't done anything to get lost and I didn't have to do anything to be found, except acknowledge that I was that person. And what this is saying to me is that when we begin to realize that our religion isn't going to get us to heaven, it's our relationship that will get us to heaven, our relationship with Christ Jesus. That God sent Jesus to walk that beach for us, to pick us up, and to bring salvation to us, to give us a life, a hope, and a future. That because God picked us personally, He picked us personally to say, I want you to be a part of my family. I knew you before you were ever conceived. I knew you. Jesus called us by name. Some of you watched the children and you remember how they called her Lilith. That was what she was known by in the community, by Lilith. But when Jesus comes to her and she's trying to walk away from him, he still makes the attempt to come back to her. He keeps coming back to her. But then, as she walks away and she tells him to leave her alone, she says, Mary, he says to her, Mary. He calls her by her name, her God-given name, Mary. God got her attention, because how many people in that community knew her as Mary? Not many. Most of them knew her by Lord. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that God knows us. And He knows that sometimes we don't even know that we are lost. Because we think that our religion is going to do it for us. Some think that I'm a good person. I don't lie, I don't steal. I'm a good person. I help other people. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're not going to go to heaven. Whenever we wander away from God, whether intentionally, like the prodigal son, or unintentionally, like the lost sheep, God looks over us. No matter how many times we dig ourselves in the ground, with one sin after another, one offense after another, one opportunity that you not forgive after another, and we keep digging that hole deeper and deeper, yet God will reach down in that pit and He will take hold. All you have to do is reach up. All you have to do is look up. All you have to do is say, I am lost. I am a sinner. And I repent. If that doesn't make you special, to know that God, our Creator, is looking for you, personally looking for you, sending His Son, His only Son, just like that movie that Mary talked about, His only Son. He sent His Son to take our place on the cross so that we would receive that message of the gospel. Even though we may not feel lost, if we have no relationship with God, we are lost. And to be found, we need to realize that God is looking for us and admit that we are separated from Him. And if we accept God as our Creator and Jesus Christ, His Son, as our Savior, then we are then accepted into the family of God. You know, before the prodigal son, think about it, before the prodigal son started eating with the pigs, think about it. Before he asked for that inheritance, he had a warm bed, he had a rich inheritance, he had a loving father, he had a secure future, and probably good food. He had all of the above. He had it all. And yet, things in the world. He wanted the things of the world, he wanted things his own way, and he wanted it the way he wanted. He wanted it in his time and in his own way. But it resulted in having a kid's dinner. When a person ignores God's guidance, when a person ignores God's word, God's instruction, they are hanging to the husk. But the book of Luke goes on to tell us that that young man, that prodigal son, turned around and he came to his senses. He came to the Father. Just as the prodigal son, we can receive and be welcomed. Just like the prodigal son was received and welcomed by his Father with open arms, our Heavenly Father, our Savior, opens his arms to us. I have a picture in my bedroom, and it shows Christ on the cross, but underneath it says, "How much do you love me?" And it says in response, "I love you this much." And it shows him with his arms stretched out, his arms stretched out on that cross. That's how much he loves us. Everyone gets this opportunity to have this invitation, to be a part of the family of God. And when they do say yes, there is a big party that's going on in heaven. There is a big celebration going on in heaven. So why is there so much joy? Why is there so much joy in heaven? Because of one person who repents and wants to come to know Christ and love Christ. It is because the angel can see so much more than we can. As they live in God's presence and they move between heaven and earth, they see the difference. They see the contrast that takes place between heaven and earth. That light against the darkness, that darkness against the light. The angels see this. Do the angels know something and see something that we don't? Absolutely. They know what heaven holds for you and for me. Heaven is populated by those who have let God change them. They're there because they let God change them. 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, 1 year at a time. Because in heaven, arguments cease. Jealousies don't exist anymore. Suspicions do not come to the surface anymore because there are no more secrets. In heaven, sin is gone. In heaven, every security, insecurity is forgotten. And every fear is gone. In heaven, the only thing that we're going to find is pure wheat and grain. There will be no weeds. Pure gold that you'll find no impurities. Pure love where there's no lust and there's no envy. And pure hope where there is no fear and no doubt. Can you imagine how excited the angels must be when they see that some of these college campuses are doing revivals and are experiencing revivals in their universities? How these angels are excited to see these people that could stay in the United States and be comfortable where they're at, and yet they put all their luxuries and everything behind to go out on the mission field and live a life of not knowing from one day to the next how they're going to survive. How many people have I known, especially when going to Bible school, and hearing testimony after testimony of those that leave Rhema Bible school? And they go out on their missions, and the only way, the only money that they have is the money that gets them on the plane and gets them to the destination where they're supposed to be. Their pockets are empty when they get to the mission field when they've been told by God to go. Their pockets are empty. They totally trust God. How many of them went with their families, and yet they trust God? These angels are rejoicing because these people that go out in the mission field, they are experiencing revival like none other. Reinhard Bonnke. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but I've seen some of this. He's gone to Africa, and I've seen where he's spoken to so many people, you can't even see the end of the people. There are so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people that you minister to, that you can't even see where the people end. And these people walk gays because they're travel there like not as nice as it is here. They go for days trying to get to this particular space where he's preaching the word. And many are healed, not because he lays hands on them, but because they have the faith believing that if I go and just hear the word, if I just go and hear the word, I'll get this hope in me. And they'll be healed and nobody's touched them. God will just heal them. So yes, those angels are celebrating. They are having a party. Because lives are changing because of revival in missions or in universities or in small churches like Europe. God is anywhere and everywhere when we welcome Him. That noise of celebration in heaven must be huge. It must be mind-boggling. The noise, the cheers, the clapping. Again, not only because of those that have received salvation and that their names are put in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're also celebrating for those people that are stepping out and saying, I am going to share the gospel. It's just like Houston and Caroline on their way here today. They saw Clyde walking. They invited Clyde to come to church. You know, God puts that in us. He gives us that boldness to do that. God brings other people into our lives so that we can step out and say, you are invited into our family, into our church family. Take that opportunity. Apply that opportunity. God's given you the boldness to do that. C.S. Lewis says this, the joy is a serious business in heaven. Joy is a serious business in heaven. So, if you're having a party over one conversion alone, then what should we be doing? We should be celebrating. Just like we celebrated today when Bill stood up and we welcomed him. Just like when Clyde came in this morning and we welcomed him, we applauded. We were so happy to see you. The gift that Cheryl gave us, we tell her how much we appreciate her by applauding you and telling them how much we appreciate them. In closing, our last scripture for today, Hebrews 12:2. For the joy that is set before him, who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down and began sitting at the right hand of the Father God. When it talks about the scripture, it says, for the joy. What joy? What joy can Christ find in knowing that he is going to the cross in our place? And some of us don't even want it. Some people scoffed at him, some people stood on him, some people pulled his beard off of his face. And yet, what joy is this form of joy? Here's the joy. What was that joy? It was us. It was us. It is us. That joy that Christ took when he walked to that cross was, we were the joy. We are the joy. We were the prize. We are the prize. We were the treasure. We are the treasure. We are the gold. He went after and laid it all down for us. Heaven celebrates when we, who were once lost, are found. You can't find the dislike coming in, because what you did by coming in on your own, that it doesn't take an adult to come in and bring you. You come because your little spirits want to be filled with the word of God. Amen? You are an example, an awesome example in the greater cause of what you do. And then be able to come. With that, How many of us this morning, like a show of hands, how many of you this morning want to hear the angels have a party and celebrate because of one person accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many of us want to do that? So this morning, some of you have received, or some of you have already said this prayer of salvation. There might be one or two of you that have never prayed the prayer of salvation. I ask this morning that you help that one person who would not even have that boldness right now to pray that prayer of salvation on their own. So I want all of us to pray the prayer of salvation. I want you to repeat it after me. And I want all of you, and I want you children to say it too, okay? You're just going to repeat after me. Okay, boys? Okay, boys? Okay. So, let's bow our heads, and I would like you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you as sinners who are lost, and we seek you, and we know that when you are found, we are saved. We believe, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to take my place on the cross. And because Jesus took my place and washed away my sin, I receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, to save me and set me free. I am no longer lost. I am found. I am in the family of God. Amen. The angels are rejoicing and they're having a party at this very moment. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeking us out. As the shepherd who seeks a lost sheep, or the woman who seeks a lost coin in these parables, you show us how much you value us. You, Father, who never leaves us or forsakes us. Even when we were in a lost state, you brought us out of that lost state and you brought us into the light of your love. Help us to appreciate the joy that heaven feels and experiences right now over each and every sinner that has repented here this morning. Help us to share that same joy with those who are the prodigals that have returned. And to return to you, that we may join the family of God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.